We're talking about, yesterday we talked, we had an introduction to the gifts of the Spirit. And I was thinking this morning that there's really no separation between the gospel, the fruit of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit. If the gospel is properly preached, if it's the gospel of the kingdom of God, or the gospel of God, or the gospel of Christ, then I believe the gifts of the Spirit are automatic and the fruit of the Spirit is automatic. There's nothing you have to do if you hear, if your ear is circumcised and your heart is circumcised so that you can hear and understand this mystery. The gospel is Christ. He is the subject of the gospel. He is the object of the gospel. He is the life of the gospel. So when we talk about the gospel or talk about the fruit of the Spirit or talk about the gifts of the Spirit, we're simply talking about Jesus Christ. And there's no... And just like everything else, if this mystery of the gospel isn't understood, isn't apprehended, then you will not build upon the foundation. You will build upon the house of sand and all of the things that go on with regard to trying to gain the Holy Spirit or trying to talk in tongues or trying to have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or trying to find peace or trying to find love. It will all be built on the house of sand. And when the afflictions or tests begin, then it just blows away. And so the problem with thinking about the gospel is that are any of the other aspects of the gospel, if you separate any aspect from Christ, then you know that you've heard another gospel. And there is not another, really, from God's standpoint. And that you got to remember, the gospel, the first words that Christ said when he read in the synagogue after his baptism, he read about the good tidings to the poor, to the captives, to the losers, to the failures. And that's and forever and always, when the gospel was preached unto Abraham, or when the gospel was preached by Nehemiah and Ezra, or when the gospel was preached by Jeremiah or by Isaiah, it always was only heard by the people who were failures, who had seen the futility and emptiness of human life. That's what Elijah preached. That's what John the Baptist preached. That's why John the Baptist said you must bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. But as long as you're trying to use the gospel for self-realization, then you're building the house on sand and you're committing blasphemy because you're denying the foundation. Does everybody understand this as a predicate? The gospel is Jesus Christ. The subject of the gospel is Christ. The object of the gospel is Christ. The life of the gospel is Christ. There is nothing else. So the Holy Spirit, his only function is to bring forth both the fruit or the personality of Christ and his outworking from the empty vessel. That's all you really need to know. That's why I haven't. You know, that's what Kevin said yesterday after our meeting with his friend. He said, I mean, it wasn't anything spectacular. There weren't any bells and whistles. It was just seeing through to see that man's need. It was probably a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or whatever those things are because there was no outward indication of the problem. And so I don't want you to think about oh, we're going to do something new here. We're not going to do anything new. We're going to preach Jesus Christ and the cross. And if you accept the cross, if you empty yourself, if you know that it's no longer you that liveth, then the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit will be the natural outworking. But He's not going to interfere with you. As long as you're trying to do something, then all you will do is hear anything I preach is debt that you can't do. So you try not to fail.
And
trying not to fail is what gives life to that which is cursed.
Yeah.
So the trying can only result in the thing that you hate. And that, it too, is the grace of God, because it's another opportunity for you to see. I mean, nobody likes to be called a failure. You lie, cheat, steal, murder. You do anything but be recognized as a failure. Men have always done that since the eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You can't be this place of total helplessness. We talk about dependence, but what dependence means is total helplessness. So you're always trying to get it right in your mind and trying to understand the words and trying to get, you know. But by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, as that's your operation of trying to understand or trying to get or trying to fix or trying to not fail, or you've declared war on the Holy Spirit.
And trying not to be weak, and
strong. Yeah, I mean, it's just the opposite. His strength is perfected in your purposed weakness. And so I'm a little tentative about, separating the gifts of the Spirit or the workings of the Holy Spirit in you from the gospel or from Christ. That's what's being done all over America today, all over the world. Oh, come on, I'm going to accept Jesus as my personal savior, or my personal failure, yeah. Accept Jesus as my personal savior, and then I can get all these goodies I want. Is this penetrating everyone? Anybody have any other response besides Ronnie?
Yeah, it's like two men working in the field, and it's a pure motivation. It's all to see Christ, and all and in all, then it remains pure. But as soon as it turns to, I'm doing this so that I can reap the harvest of my labor, it's tainted, and something will happen in each case. One will be able to place and one with the Spirit. So it is dangerous to walk into this ground without having the predicate established.
And it's like the other day, Roger came to see me, and he was all upset because he had stopped and helped somebody change a tire or something, and the guy called him a fool. The world is made up of fools like you. And it just bugged the hell out of them. And I said, well, then it just shows that you weren't doing it for the right reasons. Or, oh, I'm so worried that the foundation is going to go bankrupt. Or, I'm so worried that the door is not going to work. Or, I'm so worried. Well, that's just crazy. It's not your business. You've been bought with a price. All you do is meet need, second by second by second, as you see it, as it's presented to you. You know, from a business standpoint, if the meet need is a requirement for you to do a budget, well, you have to do the budget. If you have to do a business plan, you do a business plan, but you don't give it any breath. It's just what's there at that time. Am I communicating? Do you understand what abandonment really means? Because you'll never receive the true gifts of the Spirit or reflect the fruit of the Spirit unless you first understand abandonment. Let's go to Luke 4.
You know, abandonment kind of is a two-edged sword. You abandon yourself, and then something comes up to do, and then self would say, well, I'm abandoned, so I shouldn't do that. Well, you abandon that too. And it's like it's a continuum. It's not a...
But once you've got the word I, then you know you haven't abandoned.
Yeah. So it's not doing or not doing,
it's a different life. It has nothing to do with anything that we know about.
Yeah.
Abandonment means take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought of, about, or for your life. What's the first thing Christ said to his disciples? Because after you come follow me, and he said, abandon yourself and die. Which really, abandon yourself and die and pick up your cross are the same thing.
I had an editorial about the Baltimore News about those missionaries who were shot and led off with this quote from Bonhoeffer that says, you know, Christ calls us to come and die. You know, just a wild way to start this thing about.
Everybody, Kevin, do you have anything to say? I know. Nothing? Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue. And this is right after the temptation in the wilderness, right after he said, get behind me, Satan. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he was one of the three that stood up to read from the law, the writings, and the prophets. Remember, that's what always happens. It was his custom to read. It was this day he was one of the three that was chosen to read. And he was reading the section of Scripture that applied to the three-year cycle for that day. He didn't just automatically decide, oh, I'm going to read this.
We can't infer that this was like one of his favorite Scriptures.
No. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me, he has Christed me. Christ wasn't his last name. Wasn't Mary Christ and Joseph Christ and Jesus Christ. But some people think that. He wasn't. Because it wasn't his two brothers, James and Jude. They weren't James Christ and Jude Christ. They were Jesus bar Joseph and Jude and James bar Joseph. That was their name, of Nazareth. in the Galilee of the nations.
This is silly, but it made me think of Jiminy Cricket.
It is silly.
Yeah. Like that little Jesus Christ that sits on your shoulder whispering in your ear, which is your conscience.
Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
You skipped the thing about the captives.
I set the captives, to preach deliverance to the captives. Now they're not talking, that's not a prison ministry. The captives are you and I, because we've been captive in this dungeon deep within us. The real us has been held captive by the Antichrist from the day we were born. That's why I've said to you so often that somebody has been masquerading as you. You have no idea who you are. You've invented yourself, given a phony name to yourself. No, well, I'm just interested in genealogy. No, you're interested in relics of the past. Oh, I'm just interested in antiques. No, you're interested in dust. No, I'm just interested in old art. No, you're interested in crap.
You're talking about a garage sale right there.
Well, Saul, you know, sell the rest of you. I don't think anybody will give you anything for it, but it's worthless. What about my self-esteem? Screw your self-esteem. Your self-esteem comes from the blood of Christ.
This is like the Sermon on the Mount.
The whole thing is, yeah.
It's like that. This is what Christ is preaching the gospel to, and we're trying our best all our lives to get away and not be the thing that can hear it. We don't want to be poor. We don't want to be desperate. We don't want to admit that we're captives.
Okay, well, let's begin the journey. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Oh, God, I love this one. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And the word gifts, if you look in your Bible, it's in italics, it's not in the Scripture. And spiritual there is pneumaticos. It means concerning spiritual matters, concerning the world of the Spirit. I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Okay, let's just word, as I said, spiritual is pneumaticos, spiritual matters, gifts isn't there. Brethren is adelphoi. It means out of the same womb. That's the only way you can be a brethren. The only womb of interest to Jesus Christ is the mother of us all, which is the New Jerusalem. So the only way you're born again is when you, as the sperm cell, enters into the New Jerusalem and you lose yourself. You lose your identity in the same way a sperm loses its being when it enters the egg in the womb. Time and space can be easily seen as the birth, as the tube called? Fallopian? Is it where the sperm goes up get to the egg, the fallopian tube? All that time and space is that fallopian tube. And every sperm is trying to get to the egg. The mystery is that there isn't a numerous eggs, there's only one. And the mystery of that is that there's a jillion sperm cells going into that so that the new creation is manifest. And everyone who has lost themselves in the egg of the New Jerusalem is born again. because they've lost their identity. They've lost their inner child. I love that inner child crap. You got it? You're looking strangely, Michael. What's going on, the archangel? You understand? Okay. Ignorant is agnoio. It means not understand or to ignore. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Know is oida, to see, to have seen, to perceive, to understand. You know by experience that you've been doing something. You're a Gentile, you're ethnos, that means of the nations. You were carried away. Apago, you were led away. And it means to be led away, to put to death. You were led away unto the dumb idols for the purposes of being put to death. It's the end result of your life. And the idols existed because your grandparents ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you are under the curse. And the fruit of that curse is death. And the pathway, the thing that leads you is all of these value systems and ideas and the way things should be and judgments. All these are the dumb, aphonos, unmeaning, without significance. But they appear otherwise. They appear to be really important. But they're dumb, without significance, no matter how important they are. And tell me something that you think is right that isn't a dumb idol. You can even say, well, it's the Lord, Jesus Christ. No, because you will build the same way that that Israel did. You will build a golden calf. You will have an image of Jesus Christ. He has no form. He has no comeliness. He has no beauty that when you see him, you should desire him. You can only see him when you've gotten sick unto death of everything else. We're out of time.
You know, it's God's mercy that he doesn't reveal Christ to you until you're in that position. He'll just burn you up.
Mm-hmm. Well, we reject him right away.
That's why most of people follow another Christ, another gospel. That's the phone that he's promised to turn off every day. How come it rang then?
That was just one little ding dong. It was enough to upset Rusty.
Let me borrow your phone a minute.
Sure.
You were led, were induced, driven. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. That's probably a good place to stop, because if we get it and start going now, we'll never.
You know, when you started talking today, there's this idea though. It made me think how Jesus is the Word, but he's every part of speech. And in every predicate, verb, noun, subject, whatever it is, that's him. He connects them all, he is them all.
And every part of everything else.
So it's like the language that we've used that separated out to describe stuff is all just one thing.
That's what we're going to find out when we get to the speaking in tongues. John, you look troubled. You're not troubled? You're not muy? Anybody else?
Yeah, earlier Ronnie talked about success and failure, and then you saying that someone would murder to avoid failure. Made me think of Cain and Abel. What a huge story that is, because it's right there, whichever brother was the murderer, I can't ever remember.
Cain was.
Cain just couldn't accept Abel's offering. You know, he was comparing himself.
And there,
how much of our success and failure, you know, that's what we do. It's in relation to others.
In 1 John, it talks about that, in that really any ideas that you have or any program or whatever the way you think things should be is Cain. And he will murder the brethren in order to have his offering accepted. That's why it makes me so ill when people give me offerings, my own, their words or their mannerisms.
Cain killed Abel with a great big table.
That's the way you remember.
Kevin?
What the hell is he talking about?
It's a pneumatic device.
It's a Hank Hanegraaff thing.
You know what, at the end there, what made me think of the thing about where they're talking about when you go into Babylon, you'll see them carrying the golden idols on their shoulders, and that kind of description. This at the end here, as you're led away by the duck, just the idea of the donkey with the stick and the carrot, just around following the carrot and the stick.
Well, that's what one of the gifts of the Spirit is, discernment. You see the idols that they're carrying on their shoulders. Well, that's the gang.
Is Princess out there?
No. There's a new, they got a new member of a gang. There's now six in the gang. All right. We probably shouldn't be talking about gangs. It's not a gang anyway. It's a club. Take a big guy.